Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. We just had this technical issue in which we couldn't hear ourselves from the headphones, and so we went and like got an engineer and worked it all out, and he came in here and literally touched one button, and it was done. And he managed to not openly mock us on his way out the
impressive.
Door.
Yeah, it was impressive. Because I would have definitely said something. But.
Oh, yeah. I would have been like, okay, so next time, you literally need to hit this button, dumbass. That's what I would...
This button that says on.
I mean, it's... To be fair, there are hundreds of buttons in front of me, and I'm not exaggerating. There are
many buttons.
Many buttons, and then there's, like, different modules. Each button has, like, two or three purposes. It's like hitting the shift key to make a character... Like, there's that.
Right. I have buttons over here, too, but I know not to touch them, because I'll ruin literally everything.
You ruined everything. Anyway, we're here. There's lots of stuff happening.
Ugh.
Do you want to start with, hostage Novartis Cohen? I don't know.
Well, here, I got an idea.
Okay.
Let's be nice. The North Korean hostages were released. There are three American hostages in North Korea. They've been released. They're flying home as we speak with Mike Pompeo. That is a good thing. I don't know if we gave something up to get them. I don't know any of the details. But I do think it's reasonable to say, good, well done, at least as far as we know. And also, frankly, the North Korean, you know, the summit that they're going to have, and I mean, things seem to be moving in the right direction there. Again, I don't know all of the details. I don't know what will come out of it. I still think there's a high probability that Trump will walk in there and, you know, fart in Kim Jong-un's face or something and then walk out, or who knows, but you know, so far that's good. And look, if they manage to get a reasonable de-escalation over there, then good for them. I cannot criticize that.
There's a little bit of conservative mic dropping happening right now. A lot of these lists of like hostages released, ISIS defeated, job report up, boom 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 bitches, like there's a lot of that going on, like can we maybe not with that?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, I'll be happy to stand back and be a big enough person to say kudos on getting hostages released, on kudos on possibly, or, well, not possibly, I mean, at the moment, at least, definite signs of progress with North Korea. That's good. Again, there are a lot of different factors in here. It's unclear how much Trump's insane tweets and saber-rattling had to do with that, if anything, but nonetheless... it's happening. It's happening under his watch. And if it was happening under Obama's watch or a Democrat's watch, I think we would certainly be saying, cool, good job, whatever. So I'll say that. But yeah, the thing is, like, nobody can say all that the Republican partisans can say is the good things, and as though those completely override any negatives.
Mm-hmm.
To which I say, well, hold on, you have a major story exploding minute by minute here involving Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, and a shell company he created apparently corporations were dumping money into and all kinds of crap. It's a big deal. I mean, it's a really big deal. And it may not even, I mean, we don't know yet how much Trump is even involved with that, but it is his attorney, so it doesn't look good. And it is apparently, looks like it's selling access to the president. So anyway, you know, I hate the both the argument and the defense that, like, oh, all you can do is point out the bad stuff. It's like, no, I can say kudos on this thing, which was good, and also, holy crap, this is really bad. And this also plays into a larger theme with the whole administration, that it's corrupt.
Sure. I mean, it's important to think critically about anything. It's important to just say, here are the facts of what's occurring, and good and bad. I mean, that's the thing we're always, like, the drum I'm always beating about critical thinking and critical discourse is, like, you can't just be rah-rah. And that's the problem, that no matter where you fall politically, it's like if you say one criticism of your own, of another, whatever, then somehow you've betrayed your camp.
Right.
And you can't, so the idea of thinking critically is so lost, and that really pains me. I was talking to a journalism class this morning, and I kept, like, they were so tired of my ass by the time I was done, because I, like, kept just beating that point on them. Many points, but that was one of them. Of just, and I think I even said, I will die on this hill gladly. This is so important. It's so important to do this.
And we saw, another glimpse of this from Trump himself today, who tweeted,
oh my God,
something about how, like, citing some study from a unreliable source.
You can't read a study, right, you silly goose.
Saying that 91% of the coverage of him is negative. It's all fake news. Maybe I should take away the press's credentials. So, I mean, a lot of different layers to that. But the point is, he's saying, and that's the first time he's really, I think, we've always known this, but it's the first time he's really, like, connected the dots. It's like,
play
negative,
nice.
Negative means fake. Like, negative news is fake news. It's,
right.
And that is it. And positive news is real news.
And the step further is, and you do what I say, or I will take, I will revoke this access.
Right.
Also, like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But
the tweet was, the capital F, capital N, fake news is working overtime. Just reported that despite the tremendous success we're having with the economy and all things else. We're going to call the show that.
Yes.
All things else.
All things.
91% of the capital N network, capital N news about me is negative, in parentheses, capital F, fake. Why do we work so hard in working with the media when it is corrupt? Take away credentials? Question mark. Oh, no.
I mean, it's really astonishing. And the greatest shame that will come out of this whole era here is the fact that the other Republicans never stood up to any of this nonsense.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, because that is a, people laugh about it. And they're like, oh, he's just messing with the media. They deserve it. They're baby burp burp. But it's really bad. I mean, that goes against the fundamentals of this country. I mean, all of these assholes who are constantly, like, you know, constitution fetishists are fine with that.
Right.
Because you can walk all over the Constitution there, and the whole idea of the Founding Fathers and what they sort of envisioned for this country, they're fine with that, as long as it doesn't involve, you know, taking away their AR-15 or something like that. So it's just, you know, it's really frustrating and galling. And he's a moron and a dope, and everybody knows that. But it's all the other Republicans who just sit there. And honest, to be totally honest with you also, I think the Democrats are do an awful lot of just sitting there, too. I mean, they should be, I think it's measured on purpose, because I think they think it's the best way to, you know, handle things, but I personally disagree. I think they should be screaming bloody murder every second of every day when this kind of crap happens. I really do, but whatever. Nobody listens to me.
9 people do. Yes. 10 counting me.
Yeah.
11 counting Jasmine in there.
So much for being a thought leader.
Well, the 11 of us really appreciate your leadership, Hupke. That's for damn sure. See, Jasmine's nodding along. It's true. Woo. It's true. Speaking of access, let's talk about selling it.
Nice segue.
I was really proud of that one. It just popped in my head, and I blurted it out before I forgot.
Can get paid extra for that one. That's nice.
I know.
Michael Cohen.
Our good friend. Our buddy.
So, yeah. So I think this is the most interesting and significant development. Even the Iran deal. The pulling out of the Iran deal was a huge thing, and we should probably talk about that at some point. But truthfully, for the kind of in the moment here, at least in terms of our politics and everything, this is a massive deal, I think. And it fascinates me to no end that it's coming, that it's all coming from Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' attorney.
I know, right?
Who seems to be capable of more than most, even like major news outlets, in terms of finding crap out. Like, he's doing what journalists have really been trying to do, but is in following the money. But somehow he's managing to just drop bombs like this. Because when it first came out yesterday that so Avenatti released a dossier that had all of these different allegations that AT&T had paid $200,000 into this shell company that Michael Cohen created for apparently the sole purpose, we thought, of paying Stormy Daniels hush money. It was formed, I think, like 2 weeks before the election. It served no other purpose. It has no employees, no website, no public-facing presence whatsoever. It's just a thing. And the purpose of it that was put down on the bank applications and everything was that it's like a real estate consulting company. AT&T paid $200,000 into it. And the drug company Novartis, which initially we were told paid $400,000 into it. That was according to Avenatti's mm-hmm. thing. We now know because Novartis has come out and said they actually paid $1.2 million.
Well, different than $400,000
for what wound up being one meeting with Cohen, at which time they realized he was a worthless piece of crap, and mm-hmm. they had no more meetings. But they didn't want to stop payment because they didn't want to piss off Trump.
Right.
So anyway, Avenatti puts it, so this bombshell he drops, but everybody, myself included, like on Twitter and everything, I was a little bit like, okay, wait, hold on, I think we got to consider the source here. Which we did, except that it only took about 10 minutes before AT&T came out and said, yeah, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Novartis said, yep, we did that. And
there's a lot of power in just owning it. Be like, yep, that's real.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
I mean, there's still going to be a good chance they're in trouble for that.
Oh, they're in a world of shit
yeah,
about this.
But yeah, at least they're trying to get
this story like is. There's always one story at a time, at least one, you know, but usually just one at a time where it's like, I cannot get enough of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just am like eating it up. And this is that story. Last week, it was all about Scott Pruitt and his complete dipshittery.
Right.
I could not stop reading all of the stories about his absolute disregard for humanity and the planet at the EPA. There is a story today about like pulling the curtain back a little bit on kind of more fully exposing his EPA and just mm-hmm. what a shit show it is.
Yeah.
Which is what we expected to happen given mass resignations last week and mm-hmm. people like, yeah, I'm gonna peace out here, yeah. communications director, right. head of super funds, like I'm a go. That is a bad sign if you're a part of the EPA. But now it's this story. It's this Cohen story that I'm just like, oh, everything is so amazingly fascinating. We don't need soap operas. This is the soap opera.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's amazingly, what's really amazing is how stupid it is.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You keep going like, how dumb are you? At least every hour, just sitting there reading stuff, I say to my phone or to my screen, how stupid are you? Meaning the person I'm reading about, meaning the subject of the story. Because how dumb are you that you thought you would get away with? Like,
yeah.
if you are even a little bit of a public figure, you can't get away with shit.
Right.
Like, and now everything is on the internet, and it's so hard to hide anything. Like, you, yeah. Like,
right.
Privacy is such a farce anyway, just for the average citizen.
Yeah.
If you have any degree of publicness, mm-hmm. you can't do shit. Like, I had someone tweet about seeing me in Argo, and I ain't shit. Like, nobody knows who the hell I am, you know what I mean? And, like, some stranger was like, I just saw Amy Guth from WGN Radio in Argo, and I was like, should have said hi, now it's weird. You know, I was just like, oh, okay, that's weird. Thanks for, that was like a year ago, and I was like, that's weird. You know what I mean? It's just like, you can't even buy a dirty chai without somebody tweeting if you're like a little bit of public, much less if you're super public,
yeah,
dealing with governmental stuff and large sums of money and representing political, like, what are you thinking that you thought this was gonna work and you were gonna get away with this shit?
Yeah,
I mean, looking at you, Michael Cohen, and also Scott Pruitt.
Yeah, they're two-bit crooks. I mean, they really are. They're just it's shocking. And I
it's brazen.
Yeah, it is.
It's
yeah.
like it's shocking in its brazenness and its total arrogance.
There's a tremendous amount of white privilege wrapped up in
oh
this.
My Jesus, you know, Christ,
white
so
male,
much.
White male privilege. These guys who've just gone throughout their whole life and have just gotten away with stuff nonstop and feel like I'm going to keep getting away with it because I always do. And who maybe they still, and who knows, the jury's still out. They may well get away with it. But I mean, it just.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I don't have a lot of faith in all of it right
no,
now.
No, I don't either. But this one's unraveling quickly because, first of all, everything that happens amps up the pressure on Michael Cohen to flip on Trump. And if that happens, that
it's
will
be. The greatest
yeah,
day.
I mean, that
it's
is just going to
be so
a
fun.
Massive world of crap. And I have to believe Trump knows that, of course, because Trump, I mean, Cohen obviously knows where all the bodies are buried, so to speak, or perhaps literally. I'm not sure.
So, I would not be surprised.
So it's just fascinating. And the idea that a major corporation would be dumb enough Okay, think about all the things about this that defy reason, okay? So you're AT&T. You, as AT&T, have sure as hell never heard of Essential Consultants, a basically ginned-up shell company in New York or wherever. I don't even know if it's headquartered. I don't know where it was filed. But anyway, New York, say, because that's where Cohen is. You know, what? Like, how do you know about that? Well, you have to have been told this is where you put the money, because there's no... It's not like they were like, you know what? I think we're going to go with this place, which we've definitely heard of.
Looked it up in the phone book.
Yeah, exactly.
That I have definitely heard of.
It's ridiculous. And that they would be so stupid to dump money into a dodgy lawyer's shell company.
Right.
It's just... It defies reason, for these... companies.
But it is exciting in a way, because when the cards are stacked this precariously, it is quite easy to just burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, when it crumbles, it will, no part will be left.
Yeah.
It will not be like, woo, dodge a bullet. No. Whole house is going to come crumbling down when it's all stacked this shittily and built on this much just stupidity and arrogance, and yes, white privilege and male privilege, and just that, like, oh God, it's frustrating, because it's really that, like, the arrogance of, like, I'm untouchable. I know the rules. They don't apply to me. Is exact like that powers so many things that fuck everything up and ruin society so terribly.
Right.
And that, like, it's on display in such a powerful way in this instance.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think this is the only shell company that Michael Cohen created,
no.
Then you're nuts. I mean, if this exists, and that's the big what if, and that's the big, and I think that's probably what Avenatti keeps hinting towards.
Right.
When he says there's more to this, I think it's nothing to create a shell company. So he probably had who knows how many of these, and that's where all the damn money has probably been going. And that is probably what, maybe more than anything, they're afraid about now.
Right.
Is that all of this is going to come rolling out. And frankly, I'm sure there's other corporations out there that are probably a little nervous, because they, you know, like.
Right.
And everybody knows this goes on. I mean, look, I'm not. This isn't like a pearl clutching moment. Like, oh, AT&T,
no,
they would try to bribe.
No.
I mean, of course, everybody knows this goes on. I mean, if you're not, but usually it goes on through, like, donations to super PACs, and I mean, it goes on a little more out in the open. This is a very, well, not that the super PACs out in the open, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is a very.
There's a protocol for this kind of corruption.
Right. Sort of. Yeah. Exactly. As weird as that sounds, and this is just, this has a element of sleaze to it that is striking, and also, of course, I mean, giving to a super PAC is slightly different than giving to an individual, like the president's personal attorney, long-time personal attorney.
Because a super PAC, you're like, this is, you're being straightforward about its purpose of the funds.
Yeah.
Giving to, doing that is a whole other.
Yeah, because there's no restrictions on what Michael Cohen does with that money. I mean, that money is not earmarked for political ads or.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And there's no. So they're really. Yeah. I mean, they're actually.
And there's rules in super PACs.
Right. Like,
there's, you know, there's distance. There's rule. There's protocol.
Sure. You can be anonymous in donating bazillions to them, but what the money gets used for has rules and things governing it. So,
I think it's all pretty great.
Yes, I do too. Oh, the other big thing is where the rest of the money went, because the money flowing in at this point is way in excess of what came out.
Right.
And so I think that's right. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah, because we've totally overlooked the largest donor, the $500,000 coming from a company that's owned by a Russian oligarch.
Right.
So that kind of...
We bury the lead a little bit.
Well,
yeah.
But you know what? I wrote a column about this today, and I did try to bury that a little bit, because that's the... AT&T has come out and said, yep, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Novartis has come out and said, yep, we did it. And so there's a Korean aerospace company that also put $150,000 in. So they've all said yes.
Yep.
The Russian oligarch one is a little bit more complicated. The company has said, yes, it did this, but it's saying it did it for, like, real estate investment advice or some crap.
Come on.
And it came through the American subsidiary of this company.
I signed up for a webinar. I thought that was the price tag.
Right. I mean, it's obviously dodgy, but it's not as, let's put it this way, it's not as concrete as the rest of it. And so I feel like, okay, let's step away from the Russian stuff on this because, frankly, the stuff that's being copped to is already bad enough, both for the companies
it's all
and for Cohen,
all
and also
all bad.
Possibly for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm like,
all bad.
How does this, and of course, you know, how many times did we hear about the Clinton Foundation, a philanthropic charity that was, oh, that was pay for play, that was corrupt, the Clinton crime family, blah, blah, blah. You know, all of which, tell you what, I'll say, fine, say that's all true, but what the hell is this? doesn't excuse this stuff.
Glass houses, asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on.
It's just insane.
Yeah, no, I think there's plenty of corruption at high levels across the political spectrum. Anytime you see elitism and privilege and power, you know, sometimes there's often some corruption and shittiness with it. Sure. But maybe don't, you know, it's like the like when you see lawmakers really doubling down on like something like, oh, the, you know, homosexual agenda or whatever. And then like, and then 2 weeks later, busted in a ball gag with a man. You know what I mean? Like, don't. You're not defending yourself from your secret by bitching and hating on other people that are doing the same thing.
Totally, yeah. Yeah. The hypocrisy is thick. I tell you.
But again, boy, is it fascinating to watch all these cards fall.
It really is.
And we're just starting with this part.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, so much more here. Yeah. This is like a delicious thing happening.
And look, I think I know nothing about Michael Avenatti, and I've already, there's some stories about him owing back taxes and all kinds of shit. I mean, he could be a total dirtbag for all I know. I don't care, frankly, because everything he has put out so far has been shown to be true. So he's doing a masterful job at this, man. I mean, I don't, whatever his background, all that sort of stuff is what it is, but as far as what he's doing right now in terms of being a foil, and, you know, I mean, he has to be as almost as big a concern to Trump as Robert Mueller at this point. I mean, the way he's knocking stuff down,
it's probably fair.
Yeah. You know, cause, I don't know. It's just, it's fascinating, but man, that guy is slick and obviously smart.
You know, I keep thinking, like, when Trump gets all wound up in his desperation mode and acts real, real nuts, I keep waiting for him to do something, like, even worse. I keep waiting for him to just, like, it, I mean, it really just takes one little misstep.
Worse how? Like, what he says or what he does?
What he says, mm-hmm. like, threatening or, you know, or trying to take care of a problem or something, you know. I wouldn't put any of that shit past him at all.
Not at all.
And I'm so surprised, I'm surprised that he has not tried to do something even stupider than he's done so far.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, if I'm, boy, I hope to God that all of these people from Stormy Daniels on over and up and around have big time security on them, because I would be terrified. I mean, I would be absolutely terrified right now.
That's pretty fair.
If I was in a position like that. I mean, Robert Mueller, too, and of course.
Met an unfortunate accident kind of shit.
Seriously? Yeah. You just have to kind of look at the, and I'm not saying Trump would absolutely do something like that. I mean, that's not, but my point is, like, look at the swamp you're swimming in, kind of, you know.
Unsavory characters that clearly have loose interpretations of law and order and what is legal and what applies to them. And that's the thing. It's like there, I keep kind of like coming back to this, but there is this awful ruling class thing of, I know the rules and they just don't apply to me. Uh-huh. That is, it's simple. It's such a basic part of the struggle, but like, God damn it. It makes me so fucking mad. Cause it's like, if you and I try to do any of that shit, we would be like under the jail. We'd be
right.
In so much trouble, right? Like, I have an LLC and the care and stress that I put into creating it, I thought I was gonna have a nervous breakdown, like doing that, because you're like, if I do any of this wrong, I'm going to be in so much legal trouble. I have to do this accurately.
Yeah.
And like, you have to file an annual report of like where the office is and all that kind of crap. And like, I thought I was going to miss it last year, and I flipped out and like overnighted some shit to Springfield, and I was like, oh my God. And I called them. I was like, it's on its way. Here's the tracking number. And I was like, so, and it was like, you know what? Fuck you guys. You know what? Like, so many people are trying so hard to just make it work in their lives and make shit work and do the right thing and just to have the life they want. And you assholes have so much money and power and so much fucking arrogance and confidence that you're just going around doing all, like, that just, God, that makes me so angry. I can't even get words out of my mouth of how unfair it is. And I recognize I have a totally overinflated sense of justice that I want shit to be fair for everybody.
That's not, no, I think that's just reasonable.
But I know, but I like, I can't tell you how many like bosses and mentor types have been like, well, but life's not fair. But it should be.
Yeah.
It should be. That's
I don't
thing.
Think that's asking too much. Well, and I mean, you kind of wonder too, when does that break through to people who have supported Trump? Like when, you know, because a lot, frankly, a lot of those
people. Some people have like doubled down.
Yeah. But a lot of those people have, you know, at least they talk a good game in terms of like, I mean, that's what, like, listen, one of the sort of broader, and I'm sort of lumping all Trump supporters into one dish here, which I realize isn't the right thing to do necessarily. But I mean, one of the big arguments that you would hear is like, well, you know, I've played by the rules. I've done all the right things in life. So why are these illegals getting benefits or why are these people on welfare, blah, blah, blah. You know, that, and you've heard that. I mean, that's a common sort of rant from sort of like, you know, poor to middle, lower middle income white people who feel aggrieved. You know, it's like, I've done all the right things. I play by the rules. I pay my taxes, blah, blah, blah.
Well, but,
so at what point does the hypocrisy of what he's done and is doing filter down to them where they're like, well, wait a minute, hold on, he's done the same damn thing that I was griping about? I don't know if we reach that awareness, certainly not with everybody, but you'd think some of it would start to peel off, you know, some of the support there, you know.
I mean, once we topple capitalism, we'll be on our way. I'm just letting you know. Speaking of that, other thorn in my side is, continues to be net neutrality.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be about paying, like, people with a lot of resources are going to be able to have a better service.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to pay. And some people are like, well, that's like airlines. If you can afford it, you can get first class. But this is, but we're talking about something more than just having fancy internet. We're talking about what you can be shown and what you have access to. And just from the journalism point of view, that's infuriating. Because theoretically, if your particular service provider doesn't want to show you certain kinds of content, they can opt to not do so.
Yeah, sure.
And imagine that. Like, you're like, wait, I hear something's going on with the EPA. I'm going to Google that. And only the only stories you see are like, Scott Pruitt, awesome dude.
Right.
Doing great things. Jobs up. Money, great. Yay, yay, white
fuck
people.
The otters.
Things. Yeah, like, if you see all that kind of crap, you're going to be like, well, wait. You're not going to have a fully formed opinion on something because you're just going to be, you're going to be swayed. Mm. And that's such bullshit to not be able to access the information that you want. We have more information than ever at our fingertips.
Right.
And we're so fucking lazy to even look it up. We're like deciding elections and shit on Comic Sans email forwards, for Christ's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And here there's this threat to this access we so desperately need that is so upsetting and so infuriating because it's going to be like doubling down on confirmation bias.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's going to be letting, oh my God, it's just going to be like, it's going to be filtering your news for you.
Right.
If nothing else,
yeah.
If you don't give a shit about net neutrality, give a shit about that one part of it.
Yeah.
Because we cannot do that. I mean, people that are like, I've been talking to people about this and I spoke to someone who said she didn't think it was cool that Twitter did not work in certain countries and oh no, we should have the right to tweet anywhere we want. I was like, okay then, why is that? Well, because I want the information I want and I want to be able to share what I want. Okay then, so can we agree that here this is that same issue
right.
at its crux? No, it's different. I don't want to subsidize other, like, get the fuck out of here with your I don't want to subsidize, because what code for I don't want to subsidize anything. You're really saying, I don't give a shit about anybody who's not me.
Right.
That's all you're saying.
Yeah.
If you're saying like, I don't want Medicare for all because I only care about my own health. I don't give a shit if anyone else's health is good or bad, or if they have access to healthcare, if they're suffering or being, I don't care. If you're like, I don't want to, like, reproductive stuff is not part of healthcare because I don't want to pay for abortion.
Right.
Like,
right. I'm not, I'm a guy. I'm not going
to
get pregnant.
I'm a dude. Right. I just shouldn't have to pay for birth control. Fuck all that.
Yeah.
And you for saying it, because all you're saying is, you know what matters? Me. Mm-hmm. Guess what doesn't matter? All y'all. That's all it is. And it's so, God, that's so, that trope is so old and so dumb.
I mean, there's a, just a quick aside off of the net neutrality thing, but the, there's a, I keep hearing from this guy, I think it's on Twitter, maybe, yeah, I think it's some Chicago dude.
Some place you dwell.
Yeah, right. It's, a guy who keeps saying basically that, and he's defending Trump by saying, well, my business is doing better, my stocks, my retirement is up, and you know, things are better for my family, and I have to care about my family first, so that's what matters to me. And again, I'm like, blow me. I was like, come on, what the fuck is wrong with you?
We just reached that point in the fucking podcast.
I was like, I mean, seriously, like how, and look, I'm, I, you know, it's not like I'm coming at this as a, as like a Jesuit priest of great honor or anything like that. I am mightily flawed and a million miles from perfect, but I mean, Christ, you got to think about other people. I mean, you know, if that's your attitude, is that, well, hey man, I got to do what's, first of all, it's dumb because you're not doing what's best for your family in the aggregate, because you're only looking at a couple points, you know, you're not looking at all kinds of different things. What if someone in your family winds up being gay? Or how are you doing things for them? Or, you know, what if you have a major health crisis at some point? You know,
a health crisis that will flip a family real quick.
Yeah, so
it does not take much to have a shitload of medical debt,
right?
So even if you are well insured.
Yeah, so it's short-sighted anyway, but even just at the at its core,
it's shitty,
right? It's like, how can you think that way? I mean, of course, I everybody wants to protect the people they love and all that sort
do.
Of thing. But there's, you know, this, we live in a society, you know, like you can't think solely about that. I mean, you can't look at what's happening to other people and be like, well, hey, whatever.
Oh, that sucks. Your house burned down. Sucks to be you. Shouldn't have had open flame anywhere in it, asshole. Like,
yeah,
no,
I mean,
you say, my neighbors lost everything. What can I do to help them?
Right, right.
Because that's what human beings do.
Yeah, that's just a dark path to go down, I think, you know, and it really bothers me. But unfortunately, I think that's a very common,
I know,
attitude.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, and it's horribly selfish. I mean, I hate to see people in this country being like that.
And it's very like connected to scarcity. You know, like there's no cap on success and happiness. You know what I mean? Like you can be as happy as you want. You don't have to like. In particular, I'm thinking around the narratives around immigration. There's people that I have interviewed and spoken to that are like, some like nebulous other people, like, and then I usually follow with, have you met a person that was not born in this country? No, I don't want to. Okay, so this like nebulous, vague body of human beings that you don't care to know. Fair enough. Somehow, like by existing and you knowing these human beings exist, that somehow diminishes your life and happiness and your shit. When that really makes you an asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's striking, that stuff. I'm sorry. Back to the. I mean, what you're talking about with net neutrality, though, there's this similar argument wrapped up in that, too, because you're right. It's a, you know, I want mine. I don't want to have to pay for theirs. And
if I can pay for some awesome shit, you don't get to have it. Like, come on. I mean, honestly, the only reason I have a password on my Wi-Fi at home is because I don't want someone doing some illegal shit on my network and getting me thrown in the slammer. Like, that's the only reason. Otherwise, I'd be like, take it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, right.
Use it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I think everybody should have. Because also, have you ever tried to find a job without internet access?
Can't do it.
And so, so another narrative about like, oh, well, poor people spend their money on nice phones. Like, really? Have you ever tried to find a job without an email address?
Yeah.
And do you know anyone who just straight up doesn't have a phone and like how they could not? I mean, you can't. There's so many things you cannot do in the world if you do not have a phone.
Yeah.
It's not just like. I gotta sit around and play Candy Crush. No, it's like you need to function. You need to call people. You need to text to move around your day and do things. You need to often. Most jobs will text you and to tell you things that you need to know for work or right, email yeah. you. And you cannot, like, you can't mail a resume to somebody. You got to drop that in, you know, you got to email it. It's so, and further, policing how people spend their money is shitty anyway.
Yeah, totally. I hate that.
It's part of the, like, this, you know, we hear it a lot. I mean, food justice is a big deal to me, and I think about it a lot, and I read a lot about it a lot, and that's, you know, very connected to the environment and why I'm very bent out of shape about Scott Pruitt and what he's done at the EPA right now. But like when we talk about like the SNAP program, this comes up a lot. It's like, well, but I'm not paying for people to buy anything except the basics. They get beans and rice. Like, yeah. No, really? Have you ever been poor and lived on only beans and rice? I have. It's shitty and it's terrible and you feel like shit and everything seems terrible and nothing in your life feels like you can't go and expect to be like, you know what I mean? You need vegetables and stuff and you need to be able to buy whatever the shit you want and also buy what tastes delicious to you. And I don't get to tell you what is delicious and right. You don't get to tell me what is delicious. Like, buy what makes you glad. Do I think it's a great idea to live on sugar? No, but it's none of my business if you do.
Yeah.
So, like, that topic comes up all the time, like policing people that policing what people with less do with their time and their bodies and their lives and their food. Like, that's so infuriating. Especially infuriating when we see people in upper echelons of money and power who are like, nah, I made some shell companies and I got a bunch of crazy shit happening.
I bought a rocket.
Right.
Like, cool.
Okay.
You could have fed a city with that, but okay.
Right. I'm worried about bus fare today. Like, what are you doing? That's so corrupt and so infuriating.
Yeah, oh yeah, I completely agree with that. I hate that. I've hated it from the get-go and all the stupid tropes about, like, well, they're buying lobster with their blah, blah, blah.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
It's like, oh, come on, please. You know, I mean, remember there was one thing, I think it was O'Reilly before he was cast out rightfully, it made some kind of a big deal because a certain percentage of poor people have refrigerators.
What the fuck?
He was like, and they own refrigerators. Like, they're living a lavish life. They own refrigerators, and they own televisions, and and I'm like, what are you talking about, you dirty, rotten old man?
By the way, refrigerators?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, it's that kind of thing.
All right, children,
though.
Gather around the styrofoam igloo cooler with the fucking neon dolphin on it, and let's get our food for the day. Go fuck yourself. You have to have a refrigerator.
Yeah. He was like
that. Oh, he's vile. Yeah. He's disgusting and vile. He's awful.
There was a, who was it? This guy, Andrew Kaczynski from CNN. He's K-File. He does a lot of, they do brilliant stuff. They have found so many racists and anti-Muslim people in the Trump administration by going through like all of their social media. Like, he is
swinging a cat over there.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's not that it's that hard, but they've outed so many people. It's hilarious. But anyway, so Bill O'Reilly tweeted, this is regarding obviously, you know, some of the Me Too stuff. He's tweeted, "This is America in May 2018, a place where all allegations against powerful people instantly become truth." And Andrew retweeted that and said, "Bill, there's a reason you are now doing Periscope streams out of your walk-in closet instead of hosting a primetime show."
Yeah. Peace out, dude, who lost his job for the...
So I retweeted, 9/11, I'd like to report a savage online owning.
Yeah. Oh my God! How dumb is that?
Yeah. But and you know, crap like that. I honestly think people like O'Reilly. I mean, they just throw. It's like throwing crap at the wall. You know, just to sort of see what sticks. I mean, it's like it's ridiculous. I don't think there's even any thought put into that kind of nonsense. It's just noise.
Do you think so?
Noise for old people.
Like, you think he's intentionally being like inflammatory but doesn't mean it? Is that what you mean?
Oh, he may mean it also, but yeah, no, I think it's meant to. It's just, you know, honestly, like, it's kind of a, you've sort of a joke online, this sort of owning the libs. Like, right? You know, like, starting a nuclear war to own the libs, or, you know, that sort of thing, which is pretty much what's happening. Pretty much what happened with the Iran deal, when you get right down to it, actually. You know, it's like all of these things that are just being done to provoke liberals And you see it so much. I mean, you see it in, like, when the Trump announced withdrawal from the Iran deal, all over Twitter, there's these conservative people who are just like, oh, man, this must really hurt the liberal. Like, oh, those Obama lovers must have been. It's like, this was a terrible, terrible decision based on literally nothing and supported by none of our allies. And you're celebrating it because it might generate some sads among the liberals. It's like, come
on. Sads.
Are you serious? Like, it's really a weird. I mean, this is all blowback from 8 years of them hating Obama so much they couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, and honestly, that's what Trump. Sorry, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I mean, that's really what Trump is doing. I mean, all he's doing is knocking shit down, right? I mean, he's pulling us out of, he pulled us out of the Paris Accord. He got rid of the TPP. He's doing, obviously, the individual mandate with Obamacare with nothing. He's just taking it all away,
but there's not reactionary.
Right. I mean, but the worst example of it, though, is the Iran deal, because it whatever flaws it had, and it did have flaws, certainly, it still provided a much better idea of what, I mean, it limited what Iran can do much more than we've ever been able to before. And he just blew it up with nothing. I mean, there's nothing. So.
Oh, yeah.
And now, and I think, honestly, what I think is most likely to happen is that Iran will continue to comply with it and work with the European nations, and we'll just be cut out and look like freaking morons, which is exactly what we deserve at this point. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I know, right? I feel like we keep saying it, but like the last 2 weeks especially have been like, Jesus Christ. I've just been like kind of extra, blech. You're looking at your phone like something terrible has happened.
No,
what's going on?
I was just making sure that something terrible hadn't happened. Sorry.
Okay.
Something caught my eye, and I was like, oh, and then it wasn't. Never
okay, we're good.
Yeah,
oof.
It's all right.
I'm like, don't.
Just give it 10 minutes.
Well, last week, like, as soon as soon as the podcast was done, like, one of the first tweets we got about it was like, oh, you know, wish you guys could have waited 24 hours on that one.
Womp, womp.
I know. We also wish that.
Yeah,
in fact, we, like, were playing, we, like, started looking at this app that lets you, you know, like, lets you record on the fly over the phone. Uh-huh. And I'm like, maybe we should start using that because.
Yeah, we can't. Things are moving faster than the speed of podcasts.
Whoever thought. Yes. The future here. I know. And we haven't even talked about Roman Polanski, who is not really political, but kind of, because he was like, me too. It's a bunch of hypocrisy. It's nonsense. Really?
See that?
Again. Here's somebody who's been accused multiple times,
right?
And is like, oh, this whole thing of going after men is nonsense. Of course you think that.
Yes, rapist.
Right. So people were like,
child rapist.
People were correcting AP's tweet. It said like Oscar-winning filmmaker Roman, and they were like crossing out filmmaker and putting rapist.
That was what I saw actually. AP just actually corrected its tweet. They basically issued a correction.
What does it say?
It says, we have deleted a tweet about filmmaker Roman Polanski's comments on the Me Too movement because it didn't mention that Polanski pleaded guilty to unlawful sex with a minor in 1977. A replacement tweet is upcoming.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Screw that guy. I mean, why is anybody even paying attention, you know?
I know. Can you right now, Roman Polanski? We've got some other shit we're doing right here, right now.
Yeah. I mean, good Lord. It's just. And Cosby, did we even talk about
it? We didn't even talk
about
that.
I don't even remember when that was.
That was a year ago. I know. You know, I spoke with a group of visiting foreign journalists on Monday, and like once we got to Trump stuff, not that we have it like worse than other parts of the world by any means, But like it was like funny when we, because I think this group was like trying to be quite polite and not necessarily assume, you know, didn't want to like insult the leader of the country to my face. So when I, you know, signaled that that would be okay, then it was like a much more loving conversation, I feel like, because we were, you know, having a conversation about journalism and in particular women in journalism, and it was an all-female group. And it was like very polite dancing around, like, leadership of this country appears to have challenged our profession. I was like, we can just, let's just say. I mean, and I had like, there was an earpiece with a translator going, yeah, you know, and so that everybody could understand. And then so it was like 30 seconds later, like a lot of laughing in the room. Once I realized, like, once everybody realized, like, no, 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 she's...
Yeah, she's down.
She's down. She does not, she's not insulted if we insult the leader of her nation. She also does not think he's much of a leader. Fret not. Yeah, we had a good talk about that. About living under a totally corrupt piece of crap.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my God, we didn't even talk about Be Best.
Oh my God. We're already like out of time. And we
haven't... that was, I feel, again, I feel like that was, I had to actually think. I'm like, wait, did we talk about that? Oh, fuck.
Your chair's like, he's sinking. That's the signal. That's like the Oscar yeah, right. Music we're being played off when your chair just starts falling. It's like the vaudeville king.
Yeah, that's probably appropriate. It's happening again.
I know. So many things. Well, we're going to play with that app and see what happens. Maybe maybe we could podcast more often.
Woo!
When things happen.
Be best.
We will be best. Super reactionary to everything. That will be great. All right. Well, don't be a douche on Twitter. Let's all try not to be corrupt pieces of crap. Let's all be cool to each other. Let's all recognize that we need to not just look out for ourselves. Also that. Oh, and also, I saw a commercial, Hupke, and apparently it's like Blizzard Week. So, happy and joyous Blizzard Week this most sacred occasion to you.
Thank you. I don't know how I didn't know about that.
They have some like special flavors. One looks real fancy.
I must have run behind in my advent calendar.
Right. I know this is a very holy time to you.
Thank you.
So
blessings be upon all.
Right.
Blessings, toppings be upon you.
Haxameach. Blessed blizzard time.
Blessards.
Hashtag we're not drunk or high. We're just ridiculous. All right, then. Have yourselves a fine week. We'll talk to you soon.